This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Oh, yeah. Doug brought to us by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. And my bad, me, Scoozy. The football segment we did at the end of the last hour, sponsored by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. And think about sports in this area right now. You have two undefeated football teams, a number one ranked football team, and a number one ranked volleyball team. It's a good ball to be a sports fan in Pittsburgh.
And Penn State undefeated, West Virginia won, you know, in the conference.
I said Pittsburgh fan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pittsburgh sports.
I brought Penn State up so I could shoehorn my thing in there to make myself feel a little bit better. Yeah, who goes undefeated longer, Steelers or Pitt?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Ooh. Let's see.
I mean, North Carolina.
North Carolina just got mollywopped.
Did you
70?
Happen to? We didn't. I don't think we talked about this on the air. Mac Brown talking to his team after the game.
Is that real?
Well, he said,
yeah.
According to some of the leakages, he said, if I can't fix this, I'm going to walk away. But some of the players took that to mean he was just going to up and retire. So then he had this really weird press conference after the game. And
I didn't understand the weird press conference, but now that sets that the stage with that leakage that came out. But
yeah,
that was, but you get, I mean, to get somebody to throw 70 on you if you're a new coach and you're rebuilding and you're playing Georgia or Alabama, but JMU just lost their coach,
mm-hmm. who's doing great
in Indiana. Yeah.
He's doing a good job.
Bunch of pick guys on that.
Yep. Cignetti.
Yep. Yeah. But 70. Mm-hmm.
Enough.
70 by JMU. And no slight to JMU. They're obviously a program on the rise, but
56
you're North Carolina.
And a half.
Points.
Yes.
70 points.
Damn.
And they lost their third string quarterback, I believe.
Yeah.
So now they're on their fourth. That's just a tough year.
So, all right, let's think about this. North Carolina, you would expect they're going to bounce back, but Pitt should handle them. Indy, unless something catastrophic, they'll handle Pitt. Steelers should handle them. Who do the Steelers have after Indy?
Dallas at home.
Mm. Mm.
Steelers win under Tomlin at home in primetime, and they always beat NFC teams at home.
That's going to be a desperation team. Desperate team.
I think Pitt has what, Cal?
Cal. They sure do, Doran.
And I was looking at Cal when they played Auburn, and it's just the mystique of Auburn, but Auburn's not that good. And then Cal just lost recently. But it's still going to be but they're coming across the country, stuff like that. So I would favor Pitt over Cal more than Dallas over, I mean, than Steelers over the Dallas, but I never thought about your Tomlin in prime time. And
I'm soothing myself with hypotheticals is what I'm doing there.
Yeah.
I mean, we did see Mike Tomlin lose a primetime game to the Patriots last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it can happen. Then Pitt's got Syracuse. SMU gives me pause on the road. That team can score points.
Yep.
But I think, point being, both schedules manageable.
Yes.
Both teams good. Wouldn't surprise me if both teams won a few more games.
Oh.
Without losing.
Then this city would be electric.
My hole, just like, I would cut off the tip of my pinky. If Pitt were to win the ACC championship game, host here at Acrisure Stadium, Penn State in a playoff game. You could take my pinky off right now if you told me that could happen.
Wow.
Seriously.
Yeah. I'd cut it off for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you don't want to cut it off yourself.
I don't need my pinky.
You sure?
The tip of it? No.
What do I need it for?
Nah.
I'm trying to think. Pinky's kind of useless, really, when you think about it.
I don't need to catch anymore or anything.
Mm-mm. No. Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. All right, Doug, Justin Fields. Has he shown you enough?
I thought it was very premature after the first two games for anybody to say, well, is it Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? And not only did he show me he has a chance to be that, but they must have been listening to our program, right? Open it up. Let's see what he has. And guess what? If he makes a mistake, what'd your defense do? Three and out.
You did nail. We talked about that.
I mean, I was just like, this is how you get to know your team and put your team in a position to be successful in the future. Now, my immediate thought is, if I'm Omar, I go into Art. What are you willing to pay this guy? Because if he continues on this trajectory, you're talking 40 to 50 million. Are we ready to do that? If you're not, then the next step is when Russell Wilson, it's that balance. Do you throw Russell Wilson in there and maybe lose a couple games for the future? Meaning then you take Fields off the playing field so people aren't sitting there saying, did you say this?
Said this earlier.
Yes.
So you don't have to pay him as much.
You don't have to pay him as much.
But you already got your answer.
Yes.
That's kind of where I was going. I don't know if that was your answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you hope Wilson plays well and keeps you winning, but do you sacrifice this year for the eye on the future so you keep the cost down and you know you got a guy?
Oh, man.
These are the things that you have to think about when you're the general manager. Now, Mike Tomlin's like, win every game. But Art and Omar have to think, financially, what puts the Steelers in a best position to compete for championships, not this year, but in subsequent years?
So you said two games premature to really have these conversations. The third game, they open it up. I mean, pinpoint accuracy.
Oh!
I mean, he's
everything you wanted to see.
Really good. Ripping it all over the field. What would you need to see, hypothetically, to go, okay, we could pay this guy 40 and sleep at night and not even have to
continue on the same trajectory. And again, though, the trajectory has to be lockstep with the coaching staff. Tomlin's got to start, and maybe he's feeling more comfortable, and maybe Arthur Smith's feeling more comfortable because of what they're seeing in practice to keep opening it up. So, if he had this game for the rest of the season, I'd be cool. But I think he's going to get better. And I'll sit there and say, I was the number one skeptic. I was skeptical because after a while, you're like, wait a minute. The guy had 38 games, a sample size of 38 games. Usually, you after that, at that position, you are who you are. But, hey, this guy's taken advantage of his opportunities. I give him all credit, and it's a testament. And, again, it goes back to this. We got time?
We got time.
Okay. Kevin Colbert said, okay, this was probably after the second or third time Tom Brady won. He goes, let's as a staff sit and watch Tom Brady. What did we miss? So we watched three games, watched the bowl game against Michigan, watched his combine workout, and we all said, accurate, not a big athlete, not a strong arm, but finds a way to win. So then we started delving into his off the field, and he was always that guy that at Michigan they were bringing in people to take his job, and he always won the job. And when you think about it, it started thinking, sometimes it's that intestinal fortitude that those players have. And I'm equating it to Fields as in when Fields left Chicago, when we talked about it, everybody in that locker room loved that guy, would lay down and take a bullet for that guy. And it's showing in his play now. And he just needed to be around in circumstances that could help him foster his ability. So some of the times it's not only the athletic ability and quarterback ability, arm strength, it's that what does he have inside, his internal drive. And you're seeing that in Justin Fields, because he's saying, I'm overcoming where I came from and what I had put on before, but I want to be the best and I'm in a great situation and I know this may be my last chance, so I'm going to thrive.
If he plays like on Sunday for the rest of the season, as you just said, and you said you'd be fine with it, how far can this team go? Like, if they just play the way that they played on Sunday, every game for the rest of the season, and, you know, scored, you know, 20, they win games 21 by, you know, 24 to something, 20, 24, 26.
Yeah, you put up 20 points, and with this defense, you got a chance to compete, man. You do. Now, obviously, you look at the Bills on Monday night. That's a little scary, but at least you, when you walk into the stadium with the Bills, unlike years past, if you have Justin Fields, you're going to say, okay, if he's playing the way he's playing, we can also keep the ball away from Buffalo and have those long drives. So, but the key will be when you have it, you got to score touchdowns, because if you keep it for 7 minutes and score a field goal and they keep it for three and score a touchdown, it's -4.
Right.
So that's where you just make sure that red zone offense, that would be the only thing I'd say. If we can keep that red zone offense putting up tuds, you got a chance against anybody.
Real quick, a key for this game, which we'll get to more in detail later on in the week, just talking about time of possession. Steelers are possessing the football. 10 minutes in the second half, the defense was on the field. Look who comes in dead last at time of possession. The Indianapolis Colts, they hold the ball for 21 minutes a game.
Wow.
21!
That's not a good recipe against the Stellos.
No, TJ Watts could play like 6 snaps. What happened to my voice there? Ooh. You can text us, brought to you by Eggers Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Want to talk about some roster construction stuff with the Steelers. Would like Doug's opinion on the Rowdy Tellez thing. We got the UNLV quarterback, which, Doug, NIL right up your alley. So a ton to get to, but also the AFC North. Not quite as good as we all thought it would be. We'll get into all of that with Doug over the course of the next hour. The order? Well, that's anybody's.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Guest Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Doug Whaley in with us until 10 o'clock. A million different things we want to talk to Doug about over the course of the next 38 minutes or so. But Doug, we talked about this earlier on in the show. Steelers, without their best offensive lineman, they're playing the guy they consider to be their backup quarterback. They're without their most explosive running back. They're without now Alex Highsmith, and he missed the key points of the game on Sunday. They're without their starting right tackle, first round pick, and they're without the guy they plan on being their number three wide receiver, and here they are sitting at 3-0. I mean, that speaks to the quality of the roster construction and the depth.
Not only the depth, but the game plans by the offense and defensive coordinators, and obviously under Mike Tomlin's supervision. I mean, that's what you're talking about, complementary football, and that's what you're talking about, roster construction, because we all know, we've said it millions of times, injuries are part of the game, you can't get them out, but when someone goes down, you need somebody to step in, and the level of expectations does not dip. Don't say, oh, well, just because we don't have this guy, we can't do this. No, that's why you're on this team. Look at it as an opportunity to step up and show that I can play and I not only belong, but if anything happens, you ain't got to worry about it. We'll just keep it rolling.
How hard is it as like a GM and then your scout staff to and your pro personnel staff to get guys to fit the system? Like Mike Tomlin wants a certain type of player to fit the way he thinks the Steelers play. Arthur Smith is going to want a certain offensive player to fit the way that he coaches. Terrell Austin's going to want a certain type of player. Like, how hard is that to get on the same page and to find the right guy and for that guy to execute and hit?
It's easier when you have the staying power like the Steelers have, especially on defense. On defense, they got a blueprint that they've been using for years. So the hardest part there is the making sure that player that you thought fit that mold performs. Now, the only time that – most of the times when you – especially on the defense when you've had that continuity for years, if you miss on a guy, it's mostly because you got seduced by certain aspects of him and ignored those other things that you knew had to fit. Like, well, because he's so fast, he'll overcome this, this, and that, that we usually put a lot of stock into. So when you get seduced, then that's when you overdraft or guys don't fit. Now, offensively, yes, it's a different system, but the philosophy's still the same. Smash mouth, aggressive, run, control the clock type football. That's still something that they've had. So my point being is when you have continuity, it's a lot easier to help the personnel staff not only identify but select those players because you've had that history. When you start changing coaches all the time, that's when it gets tough. When I think about it, I was at Buffalo for 4 years. I had three different head coaches, four offensive coordinators, and five defensive coordinators in 4 years. So every year you draft guys or sign free agents, and the next year the system would change. Then you got to scrap all those guys, draft new guys, and then you're trying to get – so that continuity was never there. So you couldn't say, we definitely hit on this because of these traits. And next time we see a guy with those traits, it's automatic. Now it's like, well, these traits fit the 3-4. Now we're at a 4-3, so we got to go these traits. Oh, now we're back to 3-4. So the continuity aspect, and that starts with art. And being able to block out all the noise from these Steeler fans. Oh, Tomlin needs to go. Tomlin needs to go. But it helps everything else in the organization when you have that continuity at the top.
When Tomlin came in, they were running 3-4.
Yeah.
They had all the players running 3-4. He's a Tampa 2 guy. Came right from Monty Kiffin. What's he do? Runs 3-4. Just keep it going.
And that's the idea of getting it right, not trying to be right. He could have been one of these guys like a Sean Payton. You got Russell Wilson. He doesn't fit my system. Get him out of here. And we're going to be paying him 80-some million or whatever millions to do it. That's a guy that's about Sean Payton. Mike Tomlin came in. It's about football and winning games, not me.
Well, and you know what? I know this offseason, a lot of the conversation about the coordinator hire was, go get the young hotshot guy. And they go out and they get Arthur Smith. And you know what Mike Tomlin's done? Seriously? Yeah, they're like-minded in the way that they want to play football. I do think that's important. Mm-hmm. Mike Tomlin's letting Arthur Smith, I think, do what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Game one doesn't attack the middle of the field. We're seeing why. Jesse Bates did it again. He did a Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse Bates just a game wrecker. Denver, okay, you sit on it in the second half. Penalties also make it seem like you sit on it a little bit more. Then this game, you're not going to be able to run the ball into the teeth of that Chargers defense every single play. They throw it 32 times, like you were calling for, Doran, kind of switch it up on him. And if you look at the distribution of the throws, attacking the middle of the field,
yep,
a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And last couple of years, no trust in the OC, enough to keep him around for long enough, but no trust in the OC, maybe no trust in the quarterback. Now you're seeing, maybe it's baby steps, I do think you're seeing Mike Tomlin say, Arthur Smith, I trust you. Now I'm starting to trust Justin Fields, and we've seen what it's led to.
Who do you guys think has more trust in Justin Fields, Arthur Smith or Mike Tomlin?
I think Arthur Smith, because he is day-to-day with him and in there seeing what he's seeing, watching film, and they're talking one-on-one like, hey, what are you feeling comfortable about? Hey, this week, this is what we're going to try to do, so I want you to focus on this in practice.
Do you think that Arthur Smith has to sell game plans to Mike Tomlin? If that's the case, if Arthur Smith has the trust and is on a day-to-day, and it's like, man, I really trust this. I think that this guy could take the next step. I think we could open up a little bit. Do you think by Tuesday, whenever the game plan's already set Monday, that he has to go into Mike Tomlin and say, this is what I'm thinking, how do you feel about this, and get the sign off from Mike Tomlin, or no?
Yes, because he's the head coach, but I think anybody would do that. As in, all right, if it was Russell Wilson, I'd say no.
Okay.
Because of his just veteran status. Hey, we're going with this guy. Here's where I know he can do this. With Justin Fields, coach was like, hey, I know what you want to end up, but let's get there incrementally. And I think now that last game, Arthur Smith said, we can't pound against this running team and just go up against this brick wall. Let's kind of give this guy a little chance to do it. And we can do it in a controlled environment, but let's open it up a little bit. And
both of you
probably
guys,
Mike T was like, sure, let's do it.
You were both prescient in all that last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was saying under game, it's an under game, it's an under game. Wound up finishing the under. Steelers easily could have had the 27 points there at the end. They opened it up. Doran, you said that. You said, you know, Jim Harbaugh's coming in here thinking they're going to have a rock fight, and it was for a little while, and the Steelers, they're opening it up. They're throwing it all over the place. 32 pass attempts, to me, is throwing it all over the place for Justin Fields.
Absolutely.
And you, Doug, said last week, you're allowed to make a mistake when your defense is this freaking good.
Yes.
And we saw both of those things come to fruition on Sunday. I have a question for you, Doug, sort of bouncing off of something Doran asked in the first segment about how the Steelers might stack up against some AFC opponents. So we'll get to that coming up next. Texter says, love this show, especially when Doug is on Wednesdays.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
And another texter, after I said pinkies are useless, said Crowley is the pinky of the morning show.
Whoa.
Wow.
Damn. Well, we wouldn't cut you off.
Wow. What is Cal's thumb?
I was going to make a your mom joke about fingers and things of that nature, but I thought better of it. You know what, guys? That's growth. Speaking of growth, just real quick on Arthur Smith. Okay, so Sam Darnold's kicking ass.
Yeah.
And so that staff gets all kinds of credit, right? And then you got Malik Willis.
Mm-hmm.
He's won two games in a row. And so LeFleur, he gets all kinds of credit. Arthur Smith has turned Justin Fields into the antithesis of what Justin Fields was.
Right.
And Tom Arth deserves credit for that. And what's his face?
Sullivan.
Mike Sullivan. That should be an easy one to remember. He deserves credit for it, too. No doubt about that. All right. Schedule your heart screening today. Trust the nationally ranked experts at UPMC for your heart care. Social media's biggest loser is probably this UNLV quarterback, which we'll ask Doug about coming up later on in the show. Might be the Pirates after this Tellez stuff, so we want to get to that with Doug. So quickly, on the Steelers, Doran asked you in the first segment, if Justin Fields plays like he did on Sunday, what can this team do? So, I mean, how do you think the Steelers stack up against the Bills and the Chiefs? I don't think the Chiefs are quite rolling yet. The Bills look like they are. So I think the Steelers obviously would be an underdog against both teams, but you think they can hang?
I think they definitely right now, the way the Chiefs are playing, they're playing close to the vest, and I'm not talking about play calling. It's just their functionality and their execution isn't at the level that we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
So, yes, they may be a 2.5, depends on where they're playing, 2.5 to 3.5-point underdog against the Chiefs. Bills, you're probably going to be around 5, 5.5, just the way that offense is looking. But to me, that Jacksonville defense, can you cover a back in the flat?
Boy,
can you cover a back in the flat?
They were terrible.
I mean, so it may be a little misleading, but the point being is, after what Justin Fields and Arthur Smith showed me and the receiving options and the run after the catch and the playmaking after the catch combined with the ability to control the ball, you got a shot. Compared to after those first two games, I would have been like, no way.
Do you think, here's a different way of asking it, do you think you could beat either of those teams, and it's way before the playoffs right now, but do you think you could beat either of those teams putting up 24? Like, do you think the Steelers' defense, as constructed, we haven't seen them play a juggernaut necessarily yet, but do you think the Steelers' defense, as constructed, can keep those teams around the 21, 22, 23-point range?
I do feel strong right now against Kansas City. Yes. Buffalo, I'd probably say you'd have to say 25 to 28 right now. And again, and that's maybe just jaded after seeing them against the sad Jacksonville Jaguars. But that Joe Brady, and there's a difference. And if I was a social media person, I would have said that team and that game showed you a combination of X's and O's and Jimmy's and Joe's. Because sometimes it's like, it's always like the Jimmys and Joes outperform the X's and O's. But the schemes and the way he had those guys so wide open, that was beating the defensive coordinator. That was the X's and O's. But then you have Josh Allen on quarterback sneaks and throwing those dimes. That's the Jimmys and Joes. So right now they have a nice melding of Jimmys and Joes and X's and O's.
Do you think the Bengals are done?
No. Now, they have a real hill to climb. But I'm just such a Joe Burrow fan. I don't know if they're going to come back and be able to make the playoffs or anything, but you don't sleep on those guys. You just don't.
That defense sucks.
Yeah.
Again. It sucked last year. Yeah. Bring the coordinator back, and they stink. Brown's done.
Brown's definitely done.
Definitely done.
But I'll tell you this much, and this is something. That's why you got to strike when the iron's hot. I'm talking about assistant coaches. Lou Amarillo, is that his name?
Anarumo?
I'm Aroma. Yeah, that's it. I can't say it.
I was going to say
Lou. Yeah, I butchered it twice.
I thought he was right.
Yeah. Lou, he was up for all those coaching jobs. You got to strike when it's hot because now no one's ever going to bring his name up, not for another couple years.
We just saw the same thing happen to Ben Johnson with the Lions.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I mean, should be fine, but you never know.
Absolutely.
All right. Rowdy Tellez. So Ben Sherrington said that DFAing Tellez had nothing to do with money. He is 4 plate appearances short of hitting a trigger in the contract that would pay him $200,000. Like, Doug, I've heard this from a lot of NFL guys, that the opposite happens.
Mm-hmm.
That if guys get cut and they're close, or guys get hurt and they're close, that the teams will pay that kind of money out. Have you seen that?
Absolutely. And if I'm Ben Cherington, I'm telling Nutting, you go cut Tellez. You go do it. If this is how you want to run your organization, because what's going to happen is any free agent we're trying to sign, any draft pick, you got to negotiate with your draft picks. Now those agents are going to be like, you did that to Tellez? Come on. No. They're going to drive a harder bargain. It's going to be harder to get people in. And I'm going to say, after you talk to Tellez, go talk to Skeens. Tell Skeens why you're doing this.
Mm.
If you want to save 200 grand and you're going to make me be on the hook for this, no. That's not how you operate business in this type of environment. Now, as a businessman, if we're doing wickets, absolutely.
Yeah.
But this is a human relationship business. And when you're talking about being able to get some people to come here or to retain talent, and this is how you operate, you're just making it harder for me to do my job.
How do you think Skeens would react to that? Like, is reacting to this? Like, I mean, as a young player, I mean, he's a, you know, an insane talent, but like, he knows he's going to be here for a while. How do you really think he is, like, thinking right now?
When you look at those movies of guys in jail and they had the calendar and they're just putting the X's on.
Andy Dufresne.
That's what he's doing.
Oh, man.
Especially after you see, after this, I'd just be like, one more day closer. One more day closer.
Wow. Whew. Wow.
And then you're digging a hole behind a picture of a supermodel and you're climbing through poop to get out.
Well, he rolls over to that supermodel.
That day on the roof, we shared beers. Oh, my God.
That's one of the best movies of all time.
So good.
Love that movie. All right, Social Media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation at awaken180weightloss.com. We'll get to that coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. One more segment with Doug Whaley. And who thought we'd be talking about a UNLV quarterback? Doug, did you see this story?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. All right, here we go. UNLV undefeated.
Okay.
2 Power 4 wins, beat Houston, beat Kansas, have some other opportunities on the schedule like Syracuse, Oregon, receiving votes in the AP Top 25. So this is a team that could conceivably make the college football playoff as that, you know, group of five mm-hmm. school, right? Their quarterback, dual threat, transferring. 3 games. Undefeated, but walking away.
He's a starting quarterback.
Starting quarterback.
And he's turning in his transfer papers mm-hmm. right now during
a 3-0 start.
That's where you say it has jumped the shark.
Yes.
It has.
It's jumped the shark.
Jumped the shark.
It is.
You know where that came from, Doug? Jumped the shark? So I was teaching Doran about this the other day.
This is opposite.
It's from Happy Days when Fonzie jumps a shark. I had to educate Doran on that.
On a motorcycle.
That's
no,
not
a,
true.
A water,
no,
skis.
My water skis. Water skis. Yeah.
He didn't know I had to educate him on this subject. And I had to show him.
No,
the
he
video.
Thought it was about Jaws. I had to key him in on it. Was
well,
happy
at least it's
days.
Not like baby shark to shark. Shark.
No.
I got an 18-month-old, so I'm.
Oh, you're in it.
Yeah, I'm in it.
Yeah,
I'm in it.
I'm in it too, and I can never get away from it. It's that song in that. I played that for the kids yesterday. It's been in the head the whole time. Yeah, I mean, how do you guard against something like that? Like, quarterback, I mean, it's different at a group of five than a power four. Like, I'm sure there are some power fours that are looking at this kid and maybe putting a bug in his ear.
But still, I to whoever's around that quarterback, that's where you really have to focus. It's like, listen, do you understand the optics of this? All you have to do is say, I have sciatica, I'm done for the year. I have a lower back pain, muscle pain. They can't. That's something that even an MRI can't say you're lying or not. Like, oh, my back pain. You set out the rest of the year, and then you transfer. The optics of it is just, and that's
good
where
point.
That's where there's. I don't know how you put the controls on this, but that's where I can see a lot of college athletic fans saying, this has gone too far.
Yeah. Forget this skipping bowl games. You're in the middle of a season that could be, probably won't be, but could be a playoff year.
That's crazy.
You're walking away. Your scenario makes sense for a couple of different reasons, Doug. Like, I would rather that be the case if I'm UNLV, too, is him saying, I got back pain, I can't play.
Right. Because, just come in and say, hey, we can find a, as they say, there's a way to do bad things the right way.
Yeah.
And the way he's doing it is not the right way.
No, it's not. And it would look better for them because now the entire world is put on notice. Oh, UNLV can't pay their starting quarterback as much money as he wants. Whoa. Is tomorrow Thursday already?
It is.
Doug, thank you. This was wonderful.
This was great.
Very good. Tomorrow, Pat Bostic going to be in for a couple of hours. We start turning the page to the Indianapolis Colts. Fan weather. Good show, Dorn.
Good show.
Very good show. Happy you learned about happy days. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com today, high of 75, 70% chance of rain.